Why did you decide to work with him?
You'd be a fool not to work with him. The best. He knows what he's doing. He's great at it. He's hands-on. You can learn a lot from working with someone like that, and you plug yourself into like a well-oiled machine. So.
Why did he teach you?
He's very hands-on with his businesses, just like I am. But man, I don't have the magnitude of responsibilities that he does, and he gets it done, and he gets it all done. So every time I get overwhelmed, I'm like.
Yes. Welcome back to the podcast. Beloved, this is indeed your brother Big VJ checking in. Today's conversation, we're going to talk ownership. And we're going to talk black entertainers, right? Our black celebrities. And we're going to talk technology. You know what I'm saying? Because we had a comment from one of our brothers when we were talking about our brother Diddy. And, you know, we was kind of just say, man, that was just some trickster kind of, there's some shit going on with Diddy. It's just some trickster kind of stuff. We're not going to kick our brother back in. You know, we're not here for that. Yet, you know, our brother got caught in a vicious cycle of pimping and hoeing. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, he didn't know he was a hoe in the scenario. You know, because they dressed him up pretty nice. He had the minks on, the fancy coat, the fancy shoes, and he just forgot. You know, it's just some discipline kind of chastisement kind of shit he didn't know. So we were able to witness our brother being chastised. And he's still, he continues to be chastised in front of us. And the brother asked the question, well, based on what you said, Brother VJ, could the same thing happen to Rihanna? And beloved, we're like, of course it can happen to Rihanna, because it's a format that they use with us. It's a formula that they use with us. We call it the ownership formula. You know what I mean? Because technically, when you're dealing with the devil, it's two types of ownership, right? It's ownership where he's the owner. And you see him out in front. He owns the company. And then there's a different kind of ownership where he partners up with you. He partners up with the original people, black and brown seed. And that ownership is like, you know, he kind of like puts you in the front. As you like the face of the company, you know, you get an image of it. But he's in the back. He's still the real owner. So that's like, again, that's ownership. Like, he's the owner. And he just kind of like got you in the front, he got you in the front like God in the ship. You know what I'm saying? But he's the boss. And when you kind of, you get that dynamic mixed up, then he come with the chastisement saying, no, he trying to just put niggas back in their place. So like, for instance, like going back to Diddy, you know, Big Mama always taught us, if she never taught us anything, Big Mama used to always say that, she said, who the Lord love, he chastises. Is that not right? Is that how she said it? Who the Lord love, he chastises. You know what I mean? That was a way of mama teaching us that things is going to happen to you in your life to put you back on the right path, because, you know, the energy that you are underneath is a right-hand path energy. It's right-hand path. But we understand there's a law of balance. So if the Lord would chastise those who he loved to get them back on the right-hand path, he's kind of straightening up his military. He's straightening up the Lord's soldiers. He's straightening up the Lord commanders and generals. And, you know, the Lord got his own army, so he's going to chastise his army to keep everybody back in line. Well, we must also understand that with the devil, our open enemy, well, he got an army too. He got generals and lieutenants and colonels and, you know, privates and airmen and everything too. He's going to correct those in his army as well. So when you see our brother Diddy being corrected, he's just being chastised by he that is over the military that he is serving. We don't take no pleasure in seeing it. Even if he's on the left-hand path, beloved, we don't take no pleasure in seeing it, because he's our brother. We know that he just fell for the traps of riches and power and glory, but it's all through manipulation. He's no different than the hoe that's selling her body on the blade, on the hoe scroll. It's all manipulation. You dig what I'm saying? And when she gets out of place on that blade, the pimp does what? It's some correction going on. He break her first, and then he gets some straightening, right? That's what they say on the hoe scrolls of Memphis. You got to get you some straightening. That means you put your hands on shorty, you get it right. Right? We seeing the pimp getting some straightening with Diddy, because the hoe got out of line. So we don't want our people to be hoes, beloved. We teach our people that separation is their only salvation. That's it. He can't offer you anything else. He's a trickster. Even if just you're going to enjoy it for a while, you're going to have to sell your soul to get it. Eventually you're going to be in the grave. You're going to be in some penitentiary, because he can only sell you a left-hand path. Well, we all know what a left-hand path is going to take you. So we don't take the left-hand path. We are right-handed path people. As long as he controls the channels of distribution, he controls you. And with some of our people, this is how they make the bulk of their money. It's through the channels of distribution that this man owns. So, like, if you listen, everybody that's underneath the sound of my voice right now, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, then later we put some episodes on YouTube. We wait like a week later to do that. We don't control the channels of distribution. We don't. The devil do. Suzanne do, really. You know what I'm saying? Suzanne do. Linda do. But we don't. So we don't make no money. We're not here to make no money. We use this as a vehicle to talk to our people. Every time we get up to 10,000 subscribers, they ask our channel. So what did it look like? We trying to live off that. We don't own it. We don't control it. We not living off nothing that the devil rule and control. Because he can get rid of you when he get ready. Every time we get up to 10,000 subscribers, he asks the channel. We just start another one. It's no big deal. But like, let's say if we like a Sean King. Because Sean King, he got 6 million followers, right? It's our brother. Well, I don't know. I don't want to call Sean our brother because the verdict is still out. We don't know if the brother's black or he's the devil. Nobody really knows. What we do know is that he has 6 million followers and it's gone. Suzanne pushed the button. Or Linda pushed the button, because we know that Suzanne is a small hat, that she's a hook nose that runs YouTube. And Linda is the small hat that runs Twitter. Right? She's the CEO. So even though Linda, her name is kind of like, she got a guinea name and everything. She looks like a guinea almost. We know, you know, if we went out to lunch with her. Check it out. Let me say it this way. If we went out to lunch with her and Suzanne and we walked into the cafeteria, we wouldn't be shocked if we started to smell that matzo ball soup and that shishuka. Hey, you know, we go, beloved, we go to the meeting. You know, we look at the table for the sweet potato pie and there is none. We look at the table for the bean pie and there is none, but we see bagels. There's bagels all over the place. There's no donuts. There's no patty pies there. We know what we're dealing with. So they pushed the button, beloved, on our brother, Dr. Wesley Muhammad. The channel was gone. Right? We got a sister that used to ride on their team, hang out with them. We're talking about our sister Candace, right? Our sister Candace Owens. Even though we know her last name is not Owens, she's a married woman, she's a kept woman. But this is kind of like how American media do you. When you're a black woman and you get a husband, they don't really honor your new last name. They don't really care. So Candace Owens is always going to be Candace Owens, even though she got a husband. Serena Williams is always going to be Serena Williams, even though she got a husband. And if you are a woman of prestige, we're going to still call you Condi or Condi Rice or something. We're not going to call you Dr. Khalidiza Rice. We're going to call you Condi. You know, we're going to call you... I don't even know if Kamala Harris is a real last name. I thought I'd be a little shocked if her husband was a Harris. But this is kind of like how they do. Different story for a different day. Different story, different day. She got up on the Breakfast Club. And she went up there with Charlamagne the Fraud. and she spoke her piece. They did. They kind of let her get a 1-2 thing off. But in that conversation, she said what? She said, well, Ben can't find me. She's talking about being the hook nose. You know what I mean? And before she can get out that interview and get on that elevator and go down to the lobby, my sister was already fired. See, whoever controls the distribution controls you. So there's no way that I would be trying to make money off a distribution channel and a system that my open enemy controls. I won't do that because he controls it. And we were taught by a wise man that it's important that we control the vertical, right? There's a film I want everybody to see. You know, I'm a man of a certain age. I was born in the 70s. So the guy of our time was a brother. He's an elder now. His name is Eddie Murphy. Brilliant comedian. Brilliant actor. I mean, the guy is just, he always operated at a very, very high level. There was a movie called Trading Places that I would encourage you to see. And in the film, it's kind of like, it shows the power of devil supremacy. It shows the power of white supremacy. There's a couple of crackers and they're rich. And they just show that through the bed of a dollar, they can switch and take a secluded cracker that's have a successful life and swap him out with a brother from the ghetto and everything can stay the same. Because they were just really behind the scene. This is what the science of the movie was about. It was just showing that it's the system that holds the crackers up. It's not nothing he do individually. It's not that he's so smart and he went to Stanford. They put a system together that he could, it's going to keep him thriving. It's going to keep him successful. Right? This is the movie Trading Places. And it's that system is so strong, you can take him out of it and they can find a nigga from the street, you know what I'm saying, that just broken home, broken everything, and plug him into that same system and it worked just as fine. You dig? That person that they plugged in that spot was called Valentine. Valentine, he didn't put himself in this key position. They put him there. He didn't put himself there. They put him there. So when you look at how that dynamic is, you begin to see that, well, that happens with our people every day in black entertainment. That's in business. They didn't put themselves there. They were put there. And the funny thing about the Trading Places story, beloved, if we look at the movie, to get Eddie's attention, you know what I'm saying, to get Valentine's attention when he got in the limo, how they got, they handed him booze. Then the crackers had the nerve to hand him, they gave him some cigar. I gave him a box of cigars. Like, yeah, this is what we give niggas, you know. And if you just think about that concept, they still give our people the same thing. Look at all the rappers. What do these crackers give them to get that? They all give them liquor. They put them in front of all kind of liquor businesses. Ludacris got a liquor. Goddamn it. I mean, who got a, I mean, Lil Wayne got a liquor. The brother, we like the brother from Club Shay Shay, right? Our brother Shannon Sharp, he got his own thing popping now. But how did he get recognized? He's the black and mild. He was on the show with Skip, right? Him and that cracker Skip. And he had the black and milds and he had the liquor. And it's like, this is like the, this is how they market us. They give niggas the cigars and they give you the liquor and they say, this is going to make you happy. They make you the face of it. Our brother Kevin Hart got a what? He's a comedian. And out of all the deals he could have got, they gave him a liquor deal. Rick Ross got a liquor deal. And he got a cigar line. Jay-Z got a cigar line and a liquor deal. What about... Do Steve Harvey got a... I don't know about Steve. Does Steve Harvey got a cigar line? I don't know if he got a cigar line, but I know he got that suit collection. Okay, shit, we use that suit collection as an example. You just look at all the black entertainers that you know that's in business. Just think about every single body you know, because we're going to talk about our sister Rihanna in a minute. But just think about everyone you know. Now, I'm going to give you something that our brother Malcolm Gladwell said. You dig? Malcolm Gladwell said that 10,000 hours will make you an expert. You just put a number out there. 10,000 hours. And again, I don't know. Something about Malcolm Gladwell, I just be buying this shit. I just read all this. He make a book, I just read it. Because it just, he's just kind of, that he kind of like that kind of guy. 10,000 hours, though, make you an expert. This is what he says. Often, all the time, he says this. How long does it take for you to master something? 10,000 hours. All right, all the names I just named you. Luda, Lil Wayne, who else I said? Kevin, Rick Ross, Jay, Steve. Who else? Let me think. They just, Dr. Dre and Snoop finna come out with a new liquor. You know, Jimmy Iovine is behind that. Who else? Let me think. All these guys with the liquors. I can't think right now. Who else got a liquor? Well, that's enough. I mean, all these guys. Whoever you can think about. Let's go back to just the regular formula of the supply chain. You must have raw materials, a supplier, manufacturer, distributor. They kick it to the retail. The retail give it to the consumer. All right, let's think about Luda. They got these liquors. And Wayne got a liquor. And all these guys, because they shitting on Diddy. But think about everybody that got a liquor. Do you think they have the raw materials? Do you think that they bought land and they are in control of the raw materials of their product or no? What about supplier? Do they manufacture the product themselves? Steve Harvey got the Steve Harvey suit collection. Do you think he's manufacturing the suits himself? Do you think he controls the distribution? He has the connection to get the suits in Macy's and Hudson's and Dillard's and Belk's. And do you think he got that? Do you think he has that connection? What about Kevin Hart? Kevin Hart is from Philadelphia and he got a liquor. Out of all the shit that you can have, he got a liquor. You think he controls the land that got the raw materials for the liquor, or somebody else control it? See, this is what you call pimping and hoeing, beloved. Right? You think Kevin Hart, he opened up his phone contact and he got the number of the supplier he running at? He's the manufacturer. We skipping warehousing. We not gonna put the warehousing. We just saying just the basic supply chain. You think he got the distribution? He knows how to get it from here to the manufacturer. He know how to get it to 10 stores in Detroit, 13 in Chicago, 10 in Memphis, 7 in Oakland, 15 stores in LA. You think he know how to do all that? Because our brother Shannon Sharp, he got a liquor, right? You think his family is making the product and all this? Or just maybe somebody, he's in ownership. Somebody's the owner and he's in the front guiding the ship. Beloved, that's how it works with our people. They're in ownership. Our sister Rihanna is no different. She's from Barbados. Our sister Rihanna is from Barbados. Fenty is her last name. She's a singer and a songwriter. She, goddamn it, she didn't had a record deal since she was 16. So it's safe to say if we took that that blueprint that our brother Malcolm Gladwell says he used all the time, the 10,000 hours, and we put that next to Rihanna, we say, yeah, she's going to be an expert at singing and songwriting. Luda is too. Wayne is too. Kevin Hart been telling jokes for a minute. Yeah, all of those guys are experts in their craft. They're not in their craft. They're doing something different. All right. Do you think she is an expert at cosmetics, Rihanna? She got the background. She went to the school. She did all that. Or no, beloved, we know. No. We know that she is from Barbados. And we know that they are, I mean, in terms of commodity, we know that they're known for rum. Because that's what the British use that spot for, to produce a whole lot of rum. She's not even in the rum business. She's in the cosmetics. So, check it out. What they will use her for is to change the landscape of Barbados to make everybody gay. We see that she's going to be used for that. They use all those guys for that. They find them on the street. They give them a record contract. They give them millions, but these millions are loans. They have to pay them back. But they don't tell them that up front. They have to pay a whole lot of people back. And while they're learning and loving and being accustomed to the finer things in life, they see a lot of interesting activity, right? Let's say it that way, right? Rainbow activity. And then they use them to go back to the villages that they're from to say it's okay, and they promote in the LGBT lifestyle. Now, we got brothers and sisters and cousins and everything in our family that live that lifestyle, and it's okay because we're not here to assist them in promoting that lifestyle. See, you live it. That's your life. That's your business. We don't promote it. We got people in our family that's jack boys. We got people in our family that's alcoholics, right? We don't promote them. They live this lifestyle. We love them, but we're not going to take them around the world and promote it. It's a deviation. As people of the earth, we see that this kind of activity is just a deviation. Now, if you're in it, we love you. We're going to protect you. We're going to promote it. No, we're not going to do that. We see that the promotion of this activity is an agenda. So Barbados was an anti-LGBT community. And then Rihanna becomes the ambassador of Barbados. So we know that the Rainbow Gang is going to triple because we know that the LGBT lifestyle is a recruiter lifestyle. They recruit. You have 10, you turn your back and you turn back around, it's 20. You turn your back and turn back around, there's 60. Because it's a recruiter kind of like lifestyle. We know that. So they're using Rihanna for that. They're going to use Burna Boy for that. I wasn't going to say nothing, but I'm going to say it anyway. They're going to use Burna Boy for that in Nigeria. He's at Atlantic Records. They're prepping him now. He's going to be LB. He's going to be, pardon me, because so many letters, you can get it mixed up. He's going to be LGBTZYX friendly in a minute. And then they're going to put him back in Nigeria to tilt the landscape of the government and make that more friendlier. I don't know. Beloved, maybe all that is a different story for a different day. Our sister Rihanna is an expert at singing and songwriting. So how does she get a cosmetic line? Easy, they give her a call and they give it to her. Now, when you get this call, you must be LGBT friendly. Because that's how Jay-Z and Beyonce, that's how they got to the next level. They were LGBT. Well, you know, Jay's mom is gay, so that's kind of... But, you know, when Beyonce... Check this out. I don't know if you remember this. Let me say it this way. Who remembers when they had the GLAAD Media Awards? Right? Because I know we don't really watch all this shit. We don't do the Oscars. You know what I'm saying? We ain't finna do Emmy too tough. We gonna do BET Trumpet and NAACP Awards, and we gonna leave it there. But some of us watched all these other extra awards, like the GLAAD Awards, and Jay-Z and Beyonce pretty much went up there and accepted a gay award when he went up there. It was a LGBT acceptance award. I'm like, what is that?
And I also want to, because I didn't get to do it last year, honor my mother who received the award last year. I get to follow in her footsteps of spreading love and acceptance and her beautiful speech at the end of the song, Smile, and for her allowing me to tell her story. So I want everyone to acknowledge her.
I want to dedicate this award to my Uncle Johnny, the most fabulous gay man I've ever known and I ever knew, who helped raise me and my sister. He lived his truth, and he was brave and unapologetic during a time when this country wasn't as accepting. And witnessing his battle with HIV was one of the most painful experiences I've ever lived. I'm hopeful that his struggle served to open pathways for other young people to live more freely. LGBTQI rights are human rights. I just want to say to you, Jay, that I'm so proud of you for making incredible strides towards changing stigmas in the hip-hop community.
But they gave it, and then you see their net worth go up and up and up when they promote these kind of activities, right? Now, let's go back to our sister. She's in cosmetics. She promotes LGBT lifestyle, right? Okay, she has Fenty. And do you think our sister owns the raw materials to make this cosmetic line? Of course she don't. You think she knows the suppliers and the manufacturers, and she knows how the distribution chain work, how to get it from here to the store? You think she know all that? She doesn't know. She don't know any of that, beloved. She's in the front, right? Our sister is in the front. That cracker, that's the owner, is in the back. She's in the front because our people have the spirit of influence on them. So you have a product, and we as black and brown people will go to the stores to support you, but it's not your company. It's the crackers in the back company. And he's going to give you a piece of the money because you're helping him run a trick. That's all it is. This is what you call pimping at home. The pimp is in the back. He's in the Cadillac. He's in the air conditioner. The hoe is on the blade. Right? All right. The tricks come to support their appetite through the hoe. They give the money to the hoe. The hoe don't keep the money. The hoe gives the money to the pimp. The pimp uses the hoes as bait to draw the money to himself. That happens in business. Our sister is out in the front. You know who really owns Fenty? It's a cracker named Bernard Arnault. He is the very same cracker that owns Jay-Z's liquor. He's just in the back. Now you can see the parallel, because Jay was at where? Jay was at Def Jam over there with Doug Morris, and Rihanna was too. So you can see the connection there. And you can see also they're both billionaires. They're the bottom bitches for Bernard Arnault. See, Bernard owns Louis Vuitton. This shit you see in America, it's not. America is a new money spot. It's the new trap. It's the new spot. The old money spot is across the pond. And I told you, them Frenchies and them British, those Limeys and shit, they got, that's old money, man. They got them real millions and millions. That's old money over there. But the old money over there is running the new money over here. You see what I'm saying? Bernard Arnault is old money. This is a cracker that owns Louis Vuitton, and they own Moet Hennessy. So you see there in the back, Moet owns Ace of Spades. The shit that Jay-Z is running around with, he's the cracker in the back that really owns the shit. Do you think the Carter family, do you really think Jay-Z, he's over a land with the raw materials of the shit? Do you really think this nigga over the raw materials for real? He know the suppliers and the manufacturers. He can get up and do a business meeting. He doesn't fucking know anything. He's just in the front. He's the Valentine. He's in the front. Bernard and his family and his people there in the back, they're making the real shit for real. It's them that make it. They're making the cosmetic line for Rihanna, our sister. She's a billionaire with no factory. There's no factory in Barbados to employ anybody. Her uncle was not the CEO, COO, or CFO. None of her family is running anything. She's just there in the front getting the check. She's to do the press runs and walk across. Beloved, how many people can remember when our brother Jay-Z, he act like he was the owner of the Brooklyn Nets? We act like we forget that shit. And you know what, beloved? They get mad at me because I don't forget it. Like, no, I don't forget it. The nigga came in front of everybody, and he made it look like he was a bad boy turned good. Brooklyn businessman, and they move all those poor people out that neighborhood so they can put that stadium up there, that arena up there. They moved, they got them niggas out of the way, and then used Jay-Z to do it. He knew he didn't own shit, or did he not know? But you had to know. But he stood in front of us. That's why I say, man, that man is dangerous. Like, he's a hoe, but he's a good hoe because he's committed to himself. Man, this dude was standing up making toast. Man, check this shit out. How the fuck you stood up with Diddy and y'all nigga making these New Year toasts? They used to go to this Roc Nation brunch thing, man. And I used to look at this Roc Nation brunch and I was sick of the beloved. I used to look at the picture. I'm like, the hook nose run every nigga on this picture. They all these black and brown seeds that celebrities and entertainers, every single last one of these folks at the Roc Nation brunch is in some kind of contract with a hook nose somewhere. That's weird to me. And they used to get these toasts and we're going to make it a new year and we're going to keep grinding and hustling and they holding a champagne glass up. And then your brother is on the run and we see him riding the bike with Stevie J. He with you? That's a dangerous nigga to me. You know? Beloved, Jay-Z is a dangerous nigga to me. If that ain't a nigga all out for himself, who is? But listen, how many of us heard the stories about that's how the recording industry go? Come on, we heard the stories and say, hey man, these motherfuckers in the music industry is fake. They act like your friend. They really not your friend. They act like you can see it. Like this guy, Diddy, don't have a friend anywhere. Now, we understand he ain't gonna have that many friends because many of us is walking on the right-hand path anyway. So we ain't that friendly with you anyway. But beloved, you was on the left-hand path. And it's a bunch of y'all niggas over there on the left-hand path. And you think y'all, they don't even look out for it. What is going on, beloved? The man don't got a friend nowhere. But again, let's just go back. Let's not get off track. Do you think Jay knows that shit? Well, raw materials and the suppliers and manufacturing, he doesn't fucking know that shit. That's Bernard's operation. He's just in the front. Our sister, beloved, Rihanna, is also just in the front. They're in ownership, right? This is, beloved, this is what I call ownership. The cracker is the owner, and they're just in the front, guiding the ship. And, beloved, we can leave it there, right? Peace and black power to your family. Yes. Yes, we thank you guys so much for listening, right? Before we go, let me say this. How many of you ever seen Rick Ross in this? You seen Rizzo in his new jet? You see Rick Ross in his new jet? He flying around the country in his new jet? Have you been to Haiti yet? You been to Haiti yet? Have our brother been to Haiti? Did he take something down? Because they got a whole war in Haiti. Did he take something down to his brothers and sisters in his new jet in Haiti or no? How come the United States fucked up the rice industry in Haiti? How come they did that? Boy, you're going to learn them folks ain't your friend now. How come the United States government fucked up the rice industry in Haiti? What do you think? How come there was an earthquake in Haiti, right? Not in the DR, but in Haiti, even though it's the same island, different story of a different day. And the Clintons, remember, right? The Clintons got all that money, them billions of dollars that the whole world gave the Clinton Foundation so the Clinton Foundation could give to the Haitians. And our brothers and sisters down there never got it. How many remember that? Right? All right. So I'm going to leave you, beloved, with an African proverb. The child of a rat is a rat. I'm going to leave you with that. The child of a rat is a rat. And what that means is that it's self-explanatory, but what that means is, see, that rat has a nature, has a genetic line, and has a bloodline, and then the child has the exact same line because, you know, it's self-explanatory. A child of a rat is a rat. The problem with our people is this. We think that the children of our former slave masters are different than slave master him and herself, right? Their forefathers and their foremothers. We think that their children are different, and they're not. They're just more modern, but they have the same nature as their forefathers and their foremothers. It's just their nature. Our only salvation as a people is separating from them. You can't be around them. The wolf can't be around the lamb. The lamb just can't afford to do it. You can't be around them. The chicken can't afford to be around the fox. You can look at the fox and say, oh, the fox got a pretty color, and we like the way the fox make holes and do all this old kind of shit, and you can admire them and kick, but you can't be around the fox because it's the nature is when the fox don't know how to do anything but kill the chicken. The wolf don't know how to do anything but kill the lamb, so you can't be around them. I feel sad for our people that be around them thinking that they're their friend. You know, let me just say this a little bit. I'm going to close up. I just want to say this. Beloved, don't you think it's odd that every single black entertainer from the 1920s, damn near going all the way up to the 19th, all of them died broke? Everybody. Every fucking body died broke. And you can say, yeah, it was some mismanagement of funds, but it was some smart niggas that they died broke too. They said Flip Wilson was a very intelligent person. But they also said, man, them crackers robbed him blind because he owned so much property. Man, I was listening to a brother that was a bodyguard of Richard Pryor, and he let it all out the back. He like, yo, everything that these entertainers, they had, their lawyers and shit was hook noses. You know, their managers and the agents were hook noses, and they was going around the nation buying property here, buying property there. And when they died, they supposed to gave this shit to their children through the will, but it was the hook-nosed lawyer that had the will. So the children never got it. And they found a backdoor way to take these folks' property and give it to their own people. But they're just the devil. And I keep saying, beloved, why do our people, why are we waiting? There is no such thing as the nigga loving cracker. He's not coming. He's not coming. Nobody is. He's not coming, bro. The nigga loving cracker is not coming. Why are we looking for him? And the reason why we are looking for him, because nothing scares a nigga more than him sitting at the dinner table and him having to come up with a 100-year plan. He don't want to do that. Niggas have fell in love with instant gratification. We don't want to make a 50-year plan. We don't want to make a 100-year plan. This is why none of our marriages work. We didn't marry to go for the next 50 years. We didn't marry to go to death. We married to keep each other happy, and happy is a temporary emotion, and when you're no longer happy, you divorce. We are in the forgiveness business when we with the cracker. Let your wife do something. You're not so forgiving no more. Let your hubby do something. You're not so forgiving no more. But the cracker can beat you out of your religion, out of your name, out of your history, out of your money. And beloved, you will hang around. That forgiveness chip worked then. Beloved, you will hang around him. And you won't give all that forgiveness to your own people. Peace and black power to your family. Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening and hanging out. Beloved, this is indeed Real Black Content Form Podcast. Man, it's your brother V, man. I'm going to get it with you guys later. Peace, peace, beloved, and more peace.
Not only that, what people don't understand about the wealth, it can make you trip out. You see it. You see these men and women sit around with this wealth, and they know when they try to talk to their people, I just want to know, what can I get? Fuck what you talking about.
Right.
What can I get? And even if they turned you on to it, you would turn your back on them. They know that. It's a painful process. I remember when Richard did JoJo Dancer, and how hard that was for him. It's the same for me, because Flip is dead, and I seen how he was fucked over at the end, and his children.
How was he effed over?
In terms of the moment he died, literally, the wealth was taken and gone.
Right.
It's gone. It's not even a week. And everything that may have taken whatever amount of time to get there, it was gone within 1 week. You can't come in the house. None of this shit that was in the house, his personal belongings. They, when I say they, I mean white people, literally took everything. They took Flip's children's clothes. They took everything. And that's what I would share with the Kevin Harts and all of them, because you think while you're young, you making this money, you got it. They're not waiting while you're young. They wait for you get sick and dead.
So wait, I recall you said that Flip tried to flex that he like owned his
Flip, home. No, he owned his home. It's Grand Central Market downtown LA, when you see how big that shit is. The homes, the buildings that was right. He took me to shit that he owned.
And so how do we end up his stuff being taken?
Because the reason you can take it is who else know you got it? You ain't letting nobody black know you got it. You certainly not letting nobody in your family got it. We are under the understanding of this is in the will, but you put your enemy in charge of the will. That's who do the paperwork. Your kids don't know. In your mind, they'll get this at the end, but they don't know. Why not let them know now so that you can continue to guide them while you know? Mm-hmm. So you're going to wait till you die and say, it's not going to go that way. It's not going. Oprah has, she don't have any kids. She don't have any family. Where does that wealth go to? Now, in her mind, while she's living, my will is directed like this. Your ass is dead now. You think we gonna follow that shit? No. It's just in our minds while we living. And they know us better than we know ourselves. That's the drag in it. When you see, they know. It's already laid out. And with Flip, I became aware of it because he showed me the wealth. I remember we was in Texas. We was driving across the country, and he pulled up to this dude ranch in Texas. And as far as your eyes could see, there was cattle. And so it's like, okay, here we go. And he like came off the road in Texas, and he's driving. I mean, maybe 2 miles to get to the dude house, what they called it. And we got there, and I'm in my mind, okay, here we get me go with this bullshit, fucking around with these white people in Texas. You know this shit is wrong. You're not really fucking like that. Mm-hmm. And when we got up there, the white boy said, hey, Mr. Wilson, it was his shit. And he just looked at it, he said, this is mine. And your eyes could not see the end of it. But his children was, if you're rich, we're kind of rich. Richard unmasked his fortune. Jennifer is in control of it. She's in control of the money. He has children. She's in control of the history. I like Kevin Hart. I see his excitement, his enthusiasm about, oh shit, look at me, look what I'm doing. But it's the plan they have for your ass, bro. That's what you gotta get ready for. That shit right there, not you making money. That's the given. It's what, how are they gonna bring you down? Look at our artists at the end. Look at Unsung. How every artist that reached the peak at the end didn't have shit. That's a plan. Because they didn't get together to say, hey, at the end of our careers, we're going to be broke. That was orchestrated.
Thanks for listening. Remember to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Anchor, Spotify, and Facebook. Also, don't forget to like, share, and comment on the podcast. Your opinion of what you just heard is important to the platform. So yes, beloved, your comments are the engine and fuel to the machine. Stay blessed and have a powerful day.